What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Ride in the Pine. Jack Ride and I are back with you all today, and as always, we have another tremendous episode in store for everyone at home. But before I get into all of that, let's take a little dive into the last episode. I was joined by a great guest from the college basketball world, current assistant men's basketball coach for the Citadel, Coach Chris Hill. Coach Chris Hill and I get into his career starting out as a player at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and what it was like to play for Bruce Pearl and also guide the Panthers to a Sweet 16 appearance early in the 2000s, what got him into coaching, and what it was like transitioning out of the playing career into the coaching career, and so much more. So if you want to hear that great conversation, go check out episode 256 and all 256 episodes that are out now on all podcast platforms. Now, getting into today, we're going to be joined by another great guest, also from the college athletics world, but coming from the golf world. Current men's golfer for the Seattle University men's golf team, Nathan Cogswell. Nathan and I get into how the early part of the fall season has been for Seattle and for Nathan himself, what it's been like performing at such a high level, and also being a part of Seattle's top-tier performance earlier on this year that set a bunch of program records, his thoughts on the battle between LIV Tour and the PGA Tour, and what he thinks the impact could be of the LIV Tour on golf as a whole moving forward, and so much more. So if you want to hear from Nathan Cogswell and a little bit about Seattle University golf, don't go anywhere, because here comes Nathan. So with that, folks, let's make our way into our show for today. So as always, be sure to find your favorite seat here on the bench with me. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And I'm here with current men's golfer for the Seattle University men's golf team, Nathan Cogswell. Nathan, great to get you on the show again, my friend. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Very honored to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. Well, I'm honored that you're able to take a little bit of time out of your very busy schedule. I know that you are deep in the midst of your fall season right now. I would love to hear just how's this fall season been for your team? And we're going to get into a very strong performance you all had a few weeks ago. But just overall, how's the fall season been for you and your team?
It's been pretty good. It's a little bit of a work in progress. We had some major personnel turnover. We got a lot of new guys on the team, new faces. Everybody's just kind of getting settled, understanding, you know, how to work in a team environment and kind of play college golf. We got three new freshmen who are really talented, and they're just, you know, learning the ropes. And we got a new transfer from Canada who's a stud player. We're just waiting on him to be able to be eligible to play. But we have a competitive team, which is really nice. It's not just, you know, four guys putting up four scores every week. Now it's real competition for the traveling squad and for making all your rounds count in tournaments. So we're doing pretty well. We're starting to trend a little more upwards, which is nice.
So with all the new faces and the new personnel on the team, how have you kind of taken it upon yourself to make those guys feel comfortable and whatnot, but also just kind of help them with their transition and their adjustment to the college level of golf?
Yeah, just as a captain on the team, just trying to let them know that I'm here if they need me. But everybody who knows me knows that I'm more of a kind of a quiet to the side person who doesn't like to talk too much. So I try to lead more by example and just let them know this is how we do things at Seattle U and show them through, you know, work ethic and all the things we need to do day in and day out to be a successful program. But I think that everybody's starting to kind of get used to it. We've been here about a month and team's pretty, pretty strong, and we're all pretty close now, which is nice. So we can kind of hit the ground running, which is cool.
Well, it's great, and I think it's very, very cool and very unique that, you know, you all have been able to kind of welcome everybody with open arms, and it's been a fairly smooth transition for everyone. But how was the summer for you? I mean, what did you get into this summer in terms of competing in tournaments, and what did you really try and work on heading into this upcoming fall?
So this was actually a really different summer for me. Usually I'll focus on different parts of my game that I want to work on and play a lot of tournaments. And that was something that I kind of changed this summer. I played in only, I think, four tournaments, maybe five. But I played less. I worked a little more this summer on the grounds crew at my home course, and I practiced just as much as usual. But I worked on more of the mental side this summer. I had a really cool experience with a guy named Dave Stockton. He's won a couple majors on the PGA Tour, won a ton on the Senior Tour. So he's really well established in the golf world. And he's known as like one of the best putters ever, short game and all that. So I went to go see him. And he kind of changed my perspective on how to approach golf, really. I was just making it a little too complicated and putting unnecessary pressure on myself. And he was really helpful kind of making it simple, making it fun again. So, and I worked with another lady who's worked with him for a long time, just on the mental side and making it a little more fun, just taking the pressure off and managing expectations. So it was different in the way that I didn't play quite as so many tournaments, but I feel like I came out of it definitely on the positive side and sharpened some things that definitely needed work. So all in all, I think it was a good summer for sure.
Now, with the first few weeks under your belt for the fall season, have you felt that those, you know, kind of changes and tweaks that you made, have you started to see those pay off in your game? I mean, have you felt any effects of not competing in any tournaments like you usually do?
I think maybe the first one, just a little bit, getting my legs under me, you know, with 36 whole days are pretty long and not having played quite as many tournaments. It's definitely a different mindset on a really long, you know, 12-hour day focusing for that long. But, I think since then I've been able to kind of ease my way back into it and I feel comfortable now, and I'm starting to play much better. I know feel versus real is always different. It might not look, you know, the scores aren't exactly where I'd like them to be, but they're starting to approach where I feel comfortable and feel confident with my game too. And the mental side has definitely gotten better. I've definitely noticed that even if I've had a tough day or whatnot, I've been able to look past that. Whereas before I would kind of linger on things that weren't working well. So I've been able to take positives and learn from poor mistakes and poor rounds a lot quicker than I used to. So I'd call that growth for sure.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a big win for sure. And it definitely sounds that you definitely were able to take a lot from what you learned this past summer and then apply it. And I think that's the best way of, you know, when you're trying to make those tweaks and those adjustments that at times are always needed in everybody's game or really whatever it might be, and being able to apply that and then see it come to kind of your, you know, the success that you've been having on the golf course this year. I think that, it, again, kind of reaffirms and it gives you that reassurance of, hey, I know what I'm doing, and it feels good being able to make these improvements and also see it, you know, unfold in the way that I want it to. But you guys had a great performance at the Nick Watney Invitational, setting many new program records. What was that like, just to have that performance as a group, but then also just have that performance with the amount of added new faces that you guys made and that you were able to add to the team this past offseason?
Yeah, that was really a gratifying tournament because we were all putting in a lot of hard work. And it's funny, we didn't really realize what we'd done until well after the round. Like, we're on a plane and we see a text from coach saying, you know, you broke a whole bunch of school records and whatnot. And we were happy with how we finished, but it was just, you know, another tournament in the books, you know, figure out what went well, what went wrong, and keep going. But that tournament for sure, especially the last day, it felt a lot more calm and confident than any other tournament. And I guess it's kind of hard to diagnose when things go well, but everybody just seemed to stay in their own little bubble. And at the end, you know, when you get popped out of that and you look over and all of your teammates are 6, 5, 4, 3 under, and you realize that you weren't worrying about anything but your own game, and it ended up taking care of itself. That was huge. And that's something that I hope we can build on. And we've been really trying to pick apart so that next time when we get to, I guess our next tournament's Oregon State next week, we'll be able to use those experiences and build on it for sure. So especially with new guys, you know, we have stellar freshmen who are pushing all the guys who are making the travel team usually. And it's just nice to see them competing and playing really well out of the gate. So I think we're in a really good spot.
Do you think that performance kind of showed, or was like a little glimpse, if you will, as to what your team is capable of doing?
Oh, absolutely. We've been saying it for a very long time. We always have solid guys on our team, it's just getting over that hump of self-belief. Because, you know, if you don't play as well as you think you can, it kind of starts to get mental at some point. Like, not that you deserve to be at the back of the pack, but, like, it almost feels strange if you're moving up because you haven't done it enough. But I think we've been playing well enough, and we're starting to understand how good we actually are. So I fully believe that we're capable of playing like that week in and week out. We just gotta execute and trust in each other. So I think we can finish out the fall really well and build on it for the spring.
Well, that's great. And I think, again, on top of just all of that, being able to have that reassurance with the new group and also just knowing that the program is in good hands for years to come when, you know, you older guys are on your way out and then the new guys are coming up through the program, it'll be in good hands. But I want to stay obviously in golf, but I want to get into more kind of just overall golf news, if you will, with the LIV Tour and everything that's going on with LIV Tour versus, you know, the PGA Tour and whatnot. What are your overall opinions of LIV Golf in general? And just, I mean, what did you kind of think of when you first heard about this?
I mean, I don't have too strong opinions. I'm not one way or the other. You know, like, LIV should be, you know, they should be banned from everything, and I'm totally against it. I appreciate that there's more opportunity now for up and coming, you know, college players and stuff to be able to compete at a really high level. I think that's great. There's a bunch of guys on the LIV Tour that people haven't really heard of before, and they're getting quality starts in pretty decent fields. Like, they've acquired some really high level golf, and the fields are strong. So I think people just kind of get a little bit emotional about the money and the politics involved with it. But I think if you stayed strictly within, you know, thinking about golf and increasing opportunities for people, that's awesome. Now, if I were to, you know, be offered, you know, to play on the PGA Tour or the LIV Tour, I would be more of like a traditionalist, somebody who, I would want my name on all those trophies that, you know, the greats have put their names on and all that. But at the same time, it would just be nice to be able to have some confirmation that you're going to be able to play at a high level against some of the best people in the world. So I don't mind it too much. I'm not going to say I hate, you know, the idea of playing on LIV, but if I had to choose one, I'd definitely try to go to the PGA Tour and make my way there for sure.
Well, I know that you mentioned the aspect of just more opportunities for golfers. What are some other ways that you've seen this impact the sport of golf as a whole?
I think it's just a little bit more exposure because they're making it. It's definitely different than the PGA Tour. I mean, some people might call it a little less professional because, you know, they're playing 54 holes shotgun start. It's like a big college event basically, but then there's parties and whatnot afterwards, and people are kind of getting hung up on the fact that it's not, you know, the traditional, you know, golf that we're used to seeing. Everything is very formal. And on the LIV Tour, it's just kind of more laid back and fun. And I think some people align with that and some people don't, and that's totally fine. But I think they're just trying to market golf to a wider audience, people who probably wouldn't find golf that interesting on the PGA Tour just because it's been the same for a long time. So I don't fault them at all for trying to make something a little bit different. But, you know, understand both sides. You know, golf's been around for a long time, and a lot of the greats have been playing on the PGA Tour the same way. So I would love to do that myself. But, yeah, I think it's just growing the game a little bit different way for sure.
Now, what is kind of like the overall feeling of it from just other people that you've talked to, whether it might be teammates or other fellow golfers that you compete against? I mean, what is it, would you say, is kind of like the overall feeling with fellow contemporaries of yours in golf?
I think it kind of depends on who you ask and what the personalities are, because I've heard from friends who would say, oh, I'd never play on LIV, I'm PGA Tour all the way, and then there's others who are like, oh, it would be nice to just, you know, get a confirmed paycheck every week and be able to play and grow the game in a less, you know, constricting way, if you want to say that about the PGA Tour. But it just kind of depends on where you sit and how you see golf going, if you see it being more modern or if you've seen it stay the same as it's always been. So I definitely have influences from both sides. And like my pops has told me, like, if I were to get an offer from the LIV Tour, it wouldn't be, he would support that because I'd be getting to live out my dream of playing professional golf. No, it's not, you know, the perfect dream that I had wanted of like the PGA Tour, but at least it's something where I'd be competing against top players for sure. So I think it just kind of depends on who you ask, really.
Now, was there anybody that you felt kind of shocked you that went over to it, that you might have said, I don't think he's going to go, and then you were kind of almost surprised that they went?
I was a little bit surprised with Cam Smith. I thought he would have stayed because he's had just a crazy last couple years. And I figured like he would want to stay for definitely to get on the President's Cup and whatnot and finish out a strong year. And maybe he'd go after that. But I was just surprised with the timing. Like right after the British Open, he decides to go. I guess the Tour Championship. But yeah, that was a little bit surprising. My favorite player of all time is definitely DJ, and I was not shocked at all that he went. I kind of figured that was going to happen because he's more of like I was saying earlier, kind of a laid back guy, and it's not surprising that he would kind of gravitate to that format. And you know, $125 million is going to change a lot of people's minds, so I can't fault him for that. But yeah, there was a couple surprises, but a lot of the guys you can see just different personalities compared to the guys who stayed on the tour.
Well, would you say that this kind of fun approach, if you will, to golf that LIV is trying to do, could that be maybe a good thing for golf? I mean, I think that you kind of look at golf, the sport overall, and I think many people that are not a fan of the sport or don't understand it or don't watch it or don't follow it or whatever, I think some of their issues with it, it might be because it's too formal. It's too kind of buttoned up. It's too professional. It's, you know, when you look at sports, you're not really thinking of that, right? So, I mean, could that in a weird way maybe be a beneficial thing for the sport of golf as a whole?
I think it can get more people involved for sure. The people who look at it kind of that way as more of a stuffy sport. I mean, I personally, that's what golf is. It's a formal sport, and there's traditions and rules and things that no other sport has. So I don't particularly see it that way. I love watching golf. I can sit down and watch golf for all day long, 24 hours, you know, but there's some people who need a little bit more entertainment. And I think that's LIV can be kind of an outlet that gets a little more exposure to those kind of people. I don't particularly find it that way, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the amount of exposure that they're getting. It's reaching new people for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think that there are, you know, kind of pros and cons to both sides of it. I think, like you said, the main thing is it just depends on who you ask. I think for me, the LIV thing, I think what I don't personally love about it is just they're throwing a lot of money at guys that I feel like, well, could that maybe make them not as, I don't want to say dedicated or passionate about the sport, but they might not care as much. And then that kind of sours the game in a way. So, but again, at the same time, you look at the PGA and then people are saying, well, guys are, you know, spending hours and hours and hours and hours and all sorts of time and whatnot. And they're not necessarily getting the pay that they should be getting for winning or whatever it might be, because I know the PGA increased their purse size for, a little bit. So I think it's kind of one of those things where, you know, like you said, it depends on who you ask. There's pros and cons to both sides of it. And I mean, do you ever see a day where there's almost kind of an alliance or maybe some truce, you know, between a peace agreement, if you will, between LIV and PGA where they almost have a merging or they come together in some sort of way?
I think probably down the line. Yeah, I could see that just because, you know, my dad was telling me about this in other sports where there were rival leagues coming up and you never see two leagues anymore. They ended up merging at some point, whether it's financial or, you know, one caved in and the other decided, okay. So I think it's definitely possible in the future. I have no clue which one's going to outlast the other or if it's going to happen, but I could see it happening where everybody comes back together. I would definitely love to see the best players in the world all playing in the same events. Especially at the majors, it would be really nice to see the top players playing for the reasons why you play the game, basically. So I think somewhere down the road, it'll happen for sure.
Yeah, it's such an interesting topic. I mean, I think it's such a fascinating conversation, especially, I mean, when you think about, like you said, there hasn't really been a competitor with the PGA, right? I mean, that hasn't really been a thing ever. So that's, I think, what makes it so unique. But just diving back into this season, obviously, I know we want to get back into the here and now. I know you've got a couple tournaments coming up. Like you said, you've got one at Oregon State and you've got a couple others finishing out the fall season. What are you working on and just kind of dialing into, trying to improve and perfect as you guys work your way out of the fall season?
Me personally, just working on those mental things, commitment and managing expectations, because the last few tournaments I've made just about as many birdies as anybody in the field. It's just eliminating the big numbers, because if you look at the guys on the top of the leaderboard, it's just a couple bogeys sprinkled in throughout three rounds, and I'm sprinkling in a couple others that take me out of it a little bit. So just working on managing my game, my game plan, and sticking to it. And yeah, my game feels like it's in a really good spot. We've got a couple more. We're going to a course that I know. And I think, some of the veterans on our team who've played this event a few times will be able to give the younger guys who are going to be there for the first time some good advice. And we'll be able to kind of work our way around the golf course a little bit smarter than other teams. So I'm excited to see what we'll do.
Well, looking ahead and getting out of this season, and I know that this is your final year at Seattle. I mean, what's the plan for you after your collegiate career at Seattle? I mean, are you going to be pursuing a professional career?
Yeah, I would definitely like to turn pro when I'm done here. Working on where I would like to go, like mini tour wise. I have a couple friends who are also in college golf and been talking quite a bit about where the best options are. So yeah, just trying to figure out what route would be best for me and what I could do to maximize my opportunity for playing on the tour.
Now, what would that process look like for you? Just jump starting it and getting into it? I know you obviously have to go through the Korn Ferry tour and whatnot, but like, I mean, how would that kind of progression go for you?
So it kind of depends on how this year goes. If I play pretty well, if I play pretty well, I could get status somewhere like the PGA Tour Canada or Latino America or somewhere like that. And then you just have to be, one of the top 15, 20 guys on there, make it to Korn Ferry. You just got to work your way up the ladder until you get to the PGA Tour.
Very interesting. Well, I think it's a very unique process in how golfers make it to the professional level. So it's such a fascinating process to hear about. But Nathan, you've been great to get on the show. Really appreciate your time. And before we let you go, I just want to ask, with it being your last season, I'm sure that you've got some goals that you've set for yourself. But what's one personal goal that you've set for yourself coming into this year that you want to achieve and really, succeed at before the end of the season?
Definitely getting back to regionals and making it to nationals. Last year, my goal was just to win conference and get to regionals, and then it kind of stopped there. And this year, I think with the game I have and the things that I've learned, I can take it much further than regionals. So just staying committed and managing expectations through each tournament, and I think before I know it, I'll be right there.
Well, some exciting stuff on the horizon for you, my friend. Very, very excited to see it all unfold for you. And good luck the rest of the way. Good luck the rest of this fall season. And would love to get you back on the show heading into the springtime as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's great to be on.
And there he goes, Nathan Cogswell. Another fantastic episode today, everyone. Thanks for joining me here on the bench. Be sure to keep following and subscribing to Ride in the Pine on Apple and Spotify, and keep following on Twitter at RideThePine20, RTP all capital, Instagram at Riding_the_pine_ all lowercase, and on TikTok at RideInThePine all lowercase for all of the latest updates on episodes and content to come. All 257 episodes are out now. Keep leaving those ratings and reviews, and again, folks, keep your eyes and ears open for some more great guests coming out on the show in the coming weeks. We've got some really, really, really great interviews lined up, so make sure you're keeping yourselves locked in and ready for all of that that's going to be coming out here on RTP. But once again, everyone, thanks so much for tuning in today, and until next time on Ride in the Pine, keep on sitting the bench with me.